Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we have open lines. If there is a question or comment you want to make on something we haven't been talking about or that we didn't get to during the rest of the week, feel free to give us a call and we'll see if we can address it during today's program. Otherwise, we're going to be continuing on with our series on tithing versus giving. And what we want to be also making you aware of is that we will be making some changes in our schedule, and they will affect the Blog Talk Radio podcast special schedules. So if you are interested in receiving updates regarding this, of course we'll be posting them on Blog Talk Radio, the main page, profile page. But also if you go to www.wecanprepare.org, there's a sign-up list you can subscribe to. Of course, unsubscribe at any time. In the top right-hand corner there, it's an opt-in, so you're not going to be spammed or anything. It's a protected list. But that way we can keep you up to date as to the changes we're going to be making. Now, one of the changes we're not going to be making is this particular broadcast. We are, at this stage, going to be keeping this 9 o'clock Blog Talk Radio podcast radio live radio program in the schedule. We'll see about how other things shake out, but at this point in time, we're looking at all our options. We want to make this more interactive for those who are ready and want to move a little bit more quickly than we are able to during our other weekly programming. So if you want to keep up to date, we're looking at doing a lot more interactive, hopefully more exciting and life-changing, life-inspiring, moving forward types of things, even on a one-to-one basis. So sign up if you want to keep updated. Doesn't obligate you to anything, and you're not going to get overwhelmed by emails. So thanks a lot for checking in with us. We've been talking about tithing and giving and what the scriptures say. Well, again, we've looked at so many of the different ways that the word tithe has been used, and the ways that it's been portrayed so often has been that tithing and giving has been used interchangeably. And we just, again, want to point out that and this is true in many cases, that we just really need to wrap our heads around. The structure of our language is different than it was originally, but even than the scriptures were originally written. But even in the translation, when the word tithe is used, it is most often simply referring to a tenth, a decimal point of 1 out of 10, a tenth of something, and not to the law of tithing. So that, for instance, the most common argument we get is that tithing is not part of the law because Abraham tithed and he was before the law. And again, we just point out that Abraham didn't tithe. He gave. He just happened to have given a tenth of what he had, which was a very common amount of sacrifice to idols. and the other elements that are there in the law did not apply to what Abraham and others pre-law gave when they gave a tenth or promised to commit to give a tenth. They did not follow the other parameters that God laid out when he designated tithing as part of the law. One of the main ones being that God commanded as part of the law and specified the circumstances and then his actions, God's response was predicated on the actions being taken first by mankind, by people. So for Abraham to have tithed, God would have had to have commanded him to, told him to, Abraham, you must tithe. This is how much you should tithe. This is where, this is how often. And then when you tithe, I will do thus and so. But that isn't what happened. And as well as in the case of Jacob and others that gave a tithe before the law. Instead, what happened was Abraham, in response to God blessing him, gave a sacrifice. So the other requirements of the tithe were never there, the legal tithe. And then we also see that the tithe was within the law. These are the two main points we want to remember, is that within the law, first, that Abraham and before the law, no one tithed. There's no example of anyone ever tithing before outside of the law. So now we look inside of the law. One of the, what we want to come away with very clearly is that the scriptures do not take out any or isolate any particular requirement above or below any others. In order to fulfill the law or to receive the blessings of the law, you have to fulfill all the law. Animal sacrifices, how you treat, who you can marry, where you live. You go through the list. There's hundreds of laws and precepts and rules and regulations that you must follow. No working on Sunday. That would mean no, you can't even leave your house. On and on and on. What you can wear. You know, the laws that were written down were very specific. If you tried to only fulfill one, thinking that you can get the blessings from fulfilling one, you're totally misrepresenting and misunderstanding law, what God wrote down in the scriptures. And again, this is if you are using the scriptures to support your belief or trying to get others to believe in tithing, as we do it today. And again, so the two main points are, no one outside of the law, according to scriptures, tithed. Secondly, tithing is not one part of the law that we can take out and say, okay, I want to get God to open the storehouses in my life, so I'm going to tithe, then he will be obligated to bless me. Then he will be able to bless me. No, if you want to live according to the law, and if you want to have a relationship with God according to the law, you have to fulfill all of it before he can bless you. So there's no place where one aspect can be taken out and tried to work on, and then God will give you a partial blessing. That's just not the way it works. So what that did is that exposed the motive. Why do we then gravitate toward those misinterpretations of the concept of tithing? Why did the Pharisees? Because there was a blessing. There was a material response that they were looking for. It was not a personal relationship with God that they were looking for. They were looking for a material response. They were also looking for a way to manipulate others. If you could tell, if you were a priest or a Pharisee and you got made your living off the goods brought to the temple, and you could tell those who loved God that the only way God can bless you is if you bring in a tenth of all your goods, that's all you're going to focus on. And that's all they focused on. That's one of the things that made Jesus so angry when he overturned the money changers' table in the temple, is that they were misrepresenting God. They were misrepresenting him, that he could be bought off, that he could be, that relating to him had anything to do with what they brought, their sacrifice. Instead, relating to God is all about his sacrifice. And we already went through the other aspects that don't hold up into our current beliefs about tithing and the scriptures and giving now. So I encourage you, if you have more, if you need a refresher, review the podcast. We've talked about a lot of these different aspects. And also the handout is available, and you can go to either Blog Talk Radio profile page or We Can Prepare. The links are there, and there's a PDF to follow this through for yourself. So then we're looking at the transition between the law, the age of law, and the age of grace. When Jesus was here fulfilling the law and planting the seeds of grace. So we looked at how the concept of tithing was being taught by the Pharisees. More importantly, we looked at what Jesus' response was and how Jesus challenged the Pharisees for tithing the smallest things, the mint, the spices, and the grains of grain that they had, but they did not have a heart change. Their heart did not change towards God. Their heart did not change towards others. So Jesus called them on their motives. And he never challenged anyone that didn't tithe. He never said, the reason God is not able to do what he wants to do in your life is because you're not tithing. Instead, he exposed the Pharisees' motives and the lawyers and the scribes, those who represented God. He challenged their self-righteousness, and he challenged their manipulation of the people. So Jesus never told anyone to tithe. Every reference to tithing was in the negative sense. Woe to you. And he only directed these rebukes to the Pharisees, or those who considered themselves the elite, the religious, the leaders, the productive, the God-pleasers of their day. He never rebuked anyone for not tithing. So now we want to look at what happened during the age of grace. What is true for us now? And again, the age of grace started at the resurrection. The law was fulfilled by Jesus at the crucifixion, but we received life at the resurrection. So that's why it's important that we understand how much changed, and we'll go into that at some other point. How much changed at the resurrection? At the resurrection, everything changed. Well, we're going to look through Hebrews chapters 6 and 8. And it's going to take a while, but I'm going to read through it because this sets us up for our approach to not only tithing, but the whole concept of giving. Because you are no longer a tither. You're no longer bound by law. You've been set free. It's not that the law is destroyed. Nobody is ever saying the law was bad. It did its job. It's perfect. It's when we assign incorrect expectations or that it's going to produce something other than God set it for it to do, then it becomes distorted and manipulative in our lives. So from here, we want to look at, if we don't tithe, how do we approach giving? So let's start with Hebrews. And we're going to look at tithing, the priesthood, and Melchizedek. Odds are you're familiar with this, but we want to look at really what it says for us today. So starting with Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Then in Hebrews 8:6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, let's sum this all up. And again, what we're looking at is if we're going to follow the scriptures, what the scriptures say, what do they really say about tithing and giving? So let's sum up Hebrews. The book of Hebrews describes how even before the law, the Levites tithed to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, typically Jesus, the Son of God. Since they were in the loins of Abraham, they were his seed already. So being unborn sons of Abraham, they tithed to Melchizedek, not to the priests that were set up by the law. With this illustration, the stage has already been set for the instigating of the new, perfect, unchangeable, permanent covenant. For our topic, in Abraham, all those who would seek to fulfill the law by tithing did so, once and for all, by giving the tenth through Abraham to Jesus. Okay, so everyone born of Abraham, because they were in Abraham, fulfilled the law of the tithe because they gave the tithe from their heart to the highest priest, Jesus, when he was appeared as king of Salem, Melchizedek. So even though a secondary law was given later, the tithing, the concept of tithing, was already fulfilled when Abraham gave to Melchizedek. So the purpose of the law in regards to tithing was not to teach the people, okay, if you give, I will give. Instead, it was to prove that no amount of what they gave was enough to deserve the blessing of God. It was only through being righteous, and that only came from being changed by his son. Levi here represents all the legalized priesthood by name. Levi tithed to Jesus because he was in Abraham. For you and I, we receive the tithe. We receive because we are now in Christ, in Melchizedek. Just as all in the law, all that tried to fulfill the law, had actually already done it in Abraham when Abraham gave, all who are now in Christ already received all in Melchizedek. So in that little picture, when Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, the fullness of the law in Abraham gave everything and fulfilled everything in giving to Melchizedek, which was grace, which was where you and I receive unconditionally. Melchizedek didn't do anything, didn't ask for a blessing, did not ask, did not demand, did not covenant with Abraham. But Abraham, the law, gave the law and the promise, gave everything freely to that representation of grace. So that concluding the law of the law, what then do you and I do? If we don't tithe, what is our responsibility? Do we then leave caring for one another, the financial matters? Obviously, especially in our day and time, money and our finances and being a good steward, these are still questions that we have to ask and answer. And actually, the answers are a lot simpler than we like to think. And one of the reasons that is because if it's simple, then we have a harder time avoiding our responsibility and learning how to behave according to our new identity. So that's where we're going to start next Saturday, talking about the other verses in the New Testament about what our responsibilities and duties as not spiritual beings, but continuing on as being citizens of this world and good neighbors, and how to learn how to give. We're going to look in detail how to do that, going through the rest of the scriptures, and then we're going to get to some real practical issues on how to learn how to give so you are giving according to God and not according to pressure or manipulation or guilt. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again to continue with this series next Saturday. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we'll probably be having our last series discussions on those days. So I encourage you to join us Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7:30. Until then, have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in.